Advertencia, perdón que te mortifique, pero si tú te llamas Gerard Piqué, no escuches esto.
Este episodio no es para tipos como él. Hey Shacky fans, my name is Callie Ingerbritzen. Welcome to la segunda temporada de Shackypedia, un podcast bilingüe donde haremos un recorrido por la música de Shakira in alphabetical order. Let me introduce you to my co-host Sam.
Hola, hola Shacky fans, yo soy Sam Retz, estoy de vuelta junto con Callie en esta travesía musical y alfabética a través de las canciones de Shakira. No olviden que por cada canción les contaremos datos curiosos, nuestras teorías acerca de la letra, el chismecito que hay detrás y le asignaremos un rating.
We were planning to release our Ciega Sorda Muda episode this week. However, Shakira dropped a bomb on us. So, en este episodio hablaremos de la canción Shakira, Bizarrap Music Sessions No. 53. Stay tuned to learn everything about this record-breaking song where Shakira destroys her ex of 12 years, Gerard Piqué.
Por acá no vuelvan a casa. Cero rencor, bebé. Yo te deseo que te vaya bien con mi supuesto reemplazo. No sé ni qué es lo que te pasó. Estás tan raro que ni te distingo. Yo valgo por dos de 22. Cambiaste un Ferrari por un Twingo. Cambiaste un Rolex por un Casio.
Claramente este episodio tendrá mucho chismecito, ¿no, Cali? Pero vamos por orden. Así que no nos mortifiques y danos la ficha técnica de la sesión número 53 de Bizarrap en colaboración con Shakira.
Shakira Bizarrap Music Sessions No. 53 was released on January 11th, 2023. As the name suggests, it's the 53rd song in a series of songs produced by the Argentine producer Bizarrap. The song was written by Shakira, Gonzalo Julián Conde, better known as Bizarrap, Kevin Cruz, better known as Kaitin, and Santiago Alvarado. And the song was produced by Shakira and Bizarrap. Shakira hasn't performed the song live yet, but I personally will lose my shit if she ever does.
Imagínate que la cante en vivo. Espero que eso suceda pronto. ¿Tú crees que la incluya en su próxima gira?
I would love for that to happen. It's such a bold song, so I'm not sure if she will, but I will be absolutely obsessed if we get a live performance of this, let alone many.
Muy bien, Cali. Muchas gracias por esa información. Y ahora vamos a revisar las estadísticas. En Billboard alcanzó el número uno para los siguientes países: Colombia, España y Perú. Estados Unidos lo consiguió en la lista Latin Digital Song Sales. En la lista Monitor Latino también alcanzó el número uno para Ecuador, Panamá y Perú. Así también, Shakira es la única mujer latina en debutar directamente en el top de Spotify Global, YouTube y Apple Music. Hasta el momento, Shakira ha sobrepasado la cifra de 63 millones de escuchas mensuales en Spotify por primera vez en su carrera, siendo la primera artista latina mujer en la historia de la plataforma en conseguir esta meta. Tras el lanzamiento de la sesión número 53 de Bizarrap en colaboración con Shaki, esta obtuvo 14.39 millones de reproducciones en sus primeras 24 horas en Spotify a nivel mundial, convirtiéndose en el mayor día de estreno de una canción latina en la historia de la plataforma y en el quinto mejor debut para una canción a nivel global, como ves. Actualmente cuenta con más de 165 millones de streams en Spotify. Esto con apenas casi una semana de su lanzamiento. También alcanzó el número uno en iTunes para los siguientes países: España, Suiza, Suecia, Italia, Portugal, México y Estados Unidos. Mientras tanto, en la plataforma de YouTube, en sus primeras 24 horas de publicado el video, registró aproximadamente 50.3 millones de vistas, rompiendo el récord del mayor debut de cualquier canción latina en la historia de la plataforma. El 13 de enero de 2023, la canción se volvió el video latino en que más rápido alcanzó los 100 millones de vistas en la historia de la plataforma, haciéndolo tan solo en menos de 72 horas de su lanzamiento. Actualmente cuenta con 142 millones de vistas. Por otro lado, en la red social de TikTok, 914 mil videos incluyen la canción. También en esta plataforma de TikTok hay un trend, el cual consiste en un baile y cuando se menciona la palabra salpique, pintan el dedo.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the song in more detail. Sam, what were your first impressions of the song and where were you when you first heard it?
Yo estaba en mi casa esperando el estreno del video porque, como sabemos, con Visa en este tipo de sesiones siempre que sale la canción, bueno, sale junto con el video. Y ya, estaba esperando el estreno. Que a diferencia de estos previos lanzamientos de Shakira, como con Te Felicito y Monotonía, no hubo como tal un estreno en el canal de YouTube de Visa. Simplemente dieron las 6 y apareció el video en el canal de Visa, ¿no? En otros eventos anteriores, como te decía, hay un conteo previo incluso, ¿no? Y hasta te deja programar la aplicación de YouTube una alerta. Pero en esta ocasión no sucedió así, simplemente lanzaron el video en el canal de Visa y bueno, no sé cómo explicártelo. No es que no esperara mucho del video, pero sabía que por la temática iba a ser en el estudio de Visa, donde esperaba yo el mayor impacto en la letra y creo que logró sorprendernos Shaki, ¿no? Recuerdo que conforme iba avanzando la canción, o sea, creo que iba perdiendo más mi mente, ¿no? Con lo que iba escuchando. Nunca me imaginé que fuera a lanzar una canción tan directa en contra de estas dos personas, ¿no? Pero tú que me cuentas, ¿dónde la viste? ¿Cuál fue tu primera impresión? ¿Qué sentiste? Dime, cuéntame.
Yeah, I was at my house and I, like you, had an alarm set. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to watch it. So as soon as it came out, I watched the video and I was just like shocked immediately because I was so curious to know what the sound would be like. I thought it would be maybe more like urban type music, but it seems to be more like electro pop. It doesn't have like that reggaeton beat that I was kind of expecting, like some of the other sessions that Bizarrap has created. So I was listening and I was so shocked when I heard Pique, and then later I heard Claramente and I was like, what is happening? I can't believe this, because I thought, okay, she's maybe going to talk about the breakup in some way, but I didn't expect it to be that direct. And so that was my first impression. And immediately I had to watch it again and again and again. And I literally stayed on my sofa for 2 hours watching it and streaming it and looking at everybody's comments online. It was just really overwhelming. So yeah, it's definitely a shocking release, I would say.
Y cuando Cali les cuenta que no ha dejado de escuchar la canción, es verdad.
I'm very committed to the song. And since it came out, I've been waking up like every day with lyrics in my head.
¿Qué porcentaje de los streams que hablamos serán tuyos, Cali?
22%.
Sí, yo creo que un buen porcentaje de esos streams de la canción son tuyos.
2 por 22. Sí. Yeah, maybe 44% then are mine.
¿Sabes? A diferencia de ti, que dices que te impresionó que fuera tan directa mencionando a estas dos personas, yo no lo sentí tanto con ellos o con ellas, sino con la suegra. O sea, todo iba bien. Dije, bueno, está bien la letra, pero cuando mencionó a la suegra, la verdad es que fue donde ahí ya dije, no. O sea, Shaki se voló la barda. Porque no, o sea, digo, nunca me imaginé que le fuera a tirar beef, como dicen, ¿no? A la suegra. Mm-hmm. Que por algo lo hizo, ¿no?
Yeah, that part is shocking too. That whole little... Later we'll talk about all of the lyrics, but that part where she talks about some of the like public scandals or challenges that she's had recently, like you're saying with the house and the her mother-in-law and everything.
¿Recuerdas que estábamos hablando que al parecer esta canción es parte como de un ciclo que hablan de la ruptura de Shaki con Piqué, ¿no? Mm-hmm. ¿Tú consideras que sí es la canción más directa de esta serie que podríamos considerar que comenzó con Me Gusta, luego con Te Felicito, Monotonía, y creo que esta es la cereza del pastel, ¿no?
Yeah, I definitely think that the song relates to a lot of other songs. So, for example, you mentioned Me Gusta and Te Felicito and Monotonía, which are like the main individual songs that she's had, or I know that some of them are collabs, but that like she's released for herself since her last album came out. I do think that they all have like a similar theme, or that they keep building one mm-hmm. on top of the other. I do consider this one to be the most direct because she mentions PK's name directly, for example, and also just other personal details about things that she's been going through. So I think it's more explicit, but I think that they all connect to each other in a way, because in Me Gusta, even though in the behind the scenes video mm-hmm. on YouTube where she and Anuel were working on the lyrics, she says, I don't know who I'm talking about here. This mm-hmm. isn't about my partner. You know, this is definitely not my real situation. But I think if we look retrospectively, mm-hmm. we can kind of see that there was some feeling there that started to build. And of course, we'll never know the full story and we don't need to. And she does not owe us that information. But just listening to it, it does seem like maybe there was a beginning of being unhappy in that era, and that she was unhappy in that relationship at that time. And then Te Felicito is kind of like a different step or a different part of the breakup where maybe she's like in denial and avoidant. Like she's saying like, I can't believe I was blind to all of this for so long. How could this happen? She was kind of like shocked and then kind of impressed like, oh, you did this. Good for you, you know? And then another song that it's related to, like you mentioned, is Monotonia. And I feel like that phase of the breakup is more like pain and sadness where she's like, God, this really hurts. You know, like even in the video of Monotonia, which I know we will cover in many more songs later. But in that video, you can see that she literally has like a hole in her chest because of how much heartbreak she's experiencing at that time. And then eventually now we get this Bizarrap track and she's more like frustrated and pissed off, but also accepting that is the reality of the situation. She's not going back to PK. It's definitely over. And so she's going to move on and take care of herself and she feels more empowered. So I do think that they kind of weave together. Yeah. How about you? What do you think of those songs specifically?
Sabes, ahora que lo mencionas también, creo que a lo mejor en Me Gusta estaba hablando el subconsciente de Shakira, ¿no? Ya como que presentía algo, no sabemos en qué estado se encontraba la relación en ese momento. Que eso fue más o menos como a finales de 2019, ¿no?
Yeah, because Me Gusta came out close to the Super Bowl, which was early 2020.
Entonces, si lo vemos como dices, ¿no? En retrospectiva, quién sabe desde cuándo ya la relación no estaría bien, ¿no? Ahora, volviendo a esta pues trilogía, ¿no? Que ya es, sobre todo que comparten letristas, como la misma vibra. Por ejemplo, tú recordarás, ¿no? Que cuando lanzó Te Felicito, no hizo mucho ruido hasta que se conoció sobre la ruptura, ¿no? Uh-huh. Y que dijimos, ah, bueno, obviamente la letra habla sobre todo esto, ¿no? Uh-huh. Después llega Monotonía, que ahí creo que la revelación no fue tanto la letra, sino el video, ¿no?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a very vulnerable song and it's a different part of the breakup. So she's being extremely forthcoming with the pain that she's experiencing. But I agree. The video is like, oh my gosh, like the metaphor of the hole in her chest and she feels like a bomb was launched at her is very, very metaphorical and very bold, I would say.
Nos dejó ver claramente en el video a quién se estaba refiriendo, ¿no? Pero fue un guiño muy sutil, ¿no? Muy sutil, ¿no? Pero creo que llegamos a esta sesión y ya no quedó duda, ¿no? Para quién eran todas esas letras, cuál era su sentir, incluso no solo con su ex, sino con la nueva, con la que anda el ex, ¿no?
Yeah, I mean, this song is just like unprecedented, I would say. It's just crazy because if we think of other breakup songs that Shakira has released before, for example, Si Te Vas, that's another like pissed off like breakup song where she's mad, but it's not nearly as specific as this song. And so I think that is why this song is catching so much attention, because people are like, oh my God, she's mentioning the names, she's talking about like public scandals or challenges that she's had through this relationship and things like that. So I think compared to other songs, even like Antes de las Seis or Moscas en la Casa or
Lo que más,
exactly. Like, we can tell that she's going through a breakup, and as fans, we can kind of assume who she might be talking about. And of course, we love trying to piece that all together. But this one, it's just so direct that people are like in shock with how direct it is.
Como digo a veces, hay algunas personas, por ejemplo, ¿no? En redes sociales, que nos cuentan el inicio de su relación con alguien, cómo va esa relación, pero nunca nos cuentan cómo es que termina esa historia, ¿no?
Good point, yeah.
Y Shakira, yo creo que honesta a toda esta historia que al final desde un principio nos contó, ¿no? Desde algunos guiños en el álbum de Sale el Sol, después temas que también incluyó en el álbum homónimo, como fue Spotlight, donde también nos cuenta ahí cómo es que inicia la relación. Después en el álbum de El Dorado, pues viene esta canción de Me Gusta. Y yo creo que ella también hizo un ejercicio como de reflexión, ¿no? Si yo les conté cómo fue nuestro inicio de nuestra relación, cómo iba la relación, se merecen también que les cuente el final, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. And I know that Kaitin, who's one of the co-writers on this song, he did an interview with a podcast recently, and we can try to share the link for that. But he was very open about certain parts of the creative process for this song. And he basically said that Shakira can't write a song that's not about something that she has gone through or lived herself. So she doesn't really want to have disconnected songs that are unrelated to her life. She wants it to be much more autobiographical. And so if this is what she's saying, I have to believe that this is exactly how she was feeling, and she has her reasons for wanting to be so open about it.
Algunas canciones, creo que incluso lo platiqué en el episodio anterior de Chasing Shadows, no se sienten como canciones del todo de Shakira. Yo creo que sí afecta el hecho de que ella no intervenga del todo en la letra, ¿no? Ahora con esta cita que tú haces, creo que puedo explicar mejor lo que trataba de decir en ese episodio, ¿no? Que a veces cuando Shakira canta canciones que no son escritas del todo por ella, sí se puede sentir esa diferencia en la interpretación.
Yeah, I have the quote. I wrote it down what Kaitin said. He said, hay una base de todo y es que Shakira siempre te va a cantar lo que siente. Yo le puedo mandar temas a Shakira y me dice, está cool, me gusta, pero no lo he vivido. No es algo que yo quiero demostrar, porque yo quiero demostrar lo que siento. Shakira no es como cualquier otro artista que tranquilamente no está despechado, pero te saca una canción de despecho y fácilmente te lo hace sentir. Shakira tiene que vivirlo. Cuando Shakira está enamorada, te saca una canción de amor. Cuando está en el despecho, te saca una canción de despecho y quiere demostrar lo que siente.
Y bueno, con esto que comentas, ¿en qué categoría crees que caiga la canción? ¿Es una canción de enojo, de despecho?
I think it's a mix of breakup and also just accepting that love is dead. That love is like over. Do you know what I mean? But if we think of Te Felicito and Monotonía and now this, it's like she's not focusing on that area of her life anymore. She's just like, that's a process that she had to go through. Even at the very end of this song, she says, ya está, chao. You know, like she's done, you know? And so it's just definitely a breakup song, but also like a self love song, or like an empowering song where she's focusing more on herself now, and she's not going to be investing in that relationship anymore because she's like, fuck love, fuck this, fuck you and what you did to me. I can talk about this because it's the truth. It's my story. I'm the one who can tell it, and there's nothing that's going to stop me, and now it's time for me to move forward.
Con lo que mencionas también, tengo una teoría. Siento que con esta canción ya se cierra el círculo, ¿no? O el proceso, no sé cómo llamarlo, ¿no? Con esto le va a dar carpetazo, ¿no? O sea, ya caso cerrado, ya va a sepultar todo esto y siento que de aquí en adelante ya lo que vuelva a sacar va a ser de otra temática.
I agree. And to be honest with you, when the announcement of this song was made and they had like the release, which I think we should talk about, the release was kind of weird with like the planes that were like flying the lyrics. It was very strange for being 2023 that they didn't have like more of a marketing strategy. I didn't really understand why they did that, but anyway. So when they were promoting the song the day or two beforehand with the lyrics where they just said una loba como yo no está para tipos como tú, at first I was like, okay, this feels like more of the same. But now that we have the whole song and we have seen, you know, her attitude, not only through the song, but the posts that she's been sharing on social media and the captions, which I will share later, we can just see that she's in a different place now. And so it does feel like she's moving forward. And I agree with you that I think that this would be more or less the end of the at least more direct songs that are addressing the breakup.
¿Y a ti te parece que el lanzamiento de Te Felicito y Monotonía también nos fueron como preparando el terreno, no?
I think so. I think if we got the announcement that they had broken up and then like 6 weeks later, we got this, it would be, I mean, it's shocking right now. I mean, imagine how shocking that would have been. So I think it's true that there's different phases of a breakup, you know, like she shared part of the story in Te Felicito. She shared some in Monotonía, some in Me Gusta, like you were saying even earlier, kind of a precursor of what was happening. But now she had this to say. And to be honest, last year when we just got Te Felicito and Monotonía and she was relatively quiet, she wasn't active in too many things. I know she had her show Dancing with Myself and made a few public appearances, but she really just gave that one interview the whole year, I believe, with Elle magazine. And I thought that she was very polished, very professional, very respectful. And when we got Monotonía, I was like, wow, okay, she's being extremely vulnerable. And I thought that that was like the most that we were going to hear about the breakup. But I think all this time she was really preparing to share even a different side that was more direct, where she was like, no, I value myself. Fuck you. This is inappropriate that you cheated on me, and I can talk about it. You know, I don't have to hide this. It doesn't have to be something that I have to be the better person, or I have to be the bigger person, and I have to, you know, pretend like this didn't happen. It happened. Everybody on planet Earth seems to know that it happened, and they're already talking about it, but they haven't heard my side of the story. Now this is my side of the story.
Y creo que con estas canciones también ella ha sido como más honesta, como lo mencionábamos, ¿no? Con otras canciones, ¿cómo pasó de con esa bruja pedazo de cuero a decir claramente? ¿No? Mm-hmm. Pero creo que también tiene que ver con la madurez, ¿no? Y no hablo de la edad, sino que ya lo dejó saber, ¿no? Ya últimamente, ¿no? Que esa es su forma de procesar las cosas, ¿no? Mm-hmm. La catarsis, ¿no?
Yeah, totally. There's been times where I've thought, like, does Shakira understand that she's Shakira? Like, she can seem so humble a lot of the time, which I love about her, of course, but it's also like, girl, you're fucking Shakira Isabel Mebarak Ripoll. Like, do you get that? And do you understand, like, the power that you have? And not that that makes her inherently like better than anybody else, and not that any other person deserves to have gone through what she's going through, but I'm just like glad to see this like power and this confidence that she seems to have in this new chapter that we're getting access to. I imagine she was maybe feeling some version of this before the song came out, you know, but now we're finally getting to see that side of how she's been feeling. And I'm really grateful that she is being so open and direct, where she's like, no, I value myself and I'm going to move forward in a new chapter. And she's taking care of herself and setting an example, I think, for other women specifically, because in a lot of her posts, she's been talking specifically to women and about women and saying, this is a song for women, you know? And not that other people of other genders can't relate to this song, but I just think it's so amazing to see her talking about this experience and talking about it as a woman specifically and directing it to other women. I personally find that very, very powerful as a fan of hers for a long time, because there's been things that she said about women and men and gender roles and sexism and stuff, but it has always felt kind of like light. And this just feels like very like bam, you know? And I really appreciate being able to see that part of her development.
También me recuerda todo esto a un poco la era de Taylor Swift del álbum 1989. Ella siempre ha tenido esos guiños, ¿no? A los sexes. Creo que Shakira, te digo, anteriormente se había como limitado, ¿no? A la fecha tenemos la duda, ¿no? Sobre la beta verdosa en...
Addicted to You.
Exacto, ¿no?
Yeah.
Por lo mismo, ¿no? Porque a veces es como medio ambiguo, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. I think she wanted there to be some level of accountability for PK's behavior. And one of the ways that she could do that is not only by, you know, mentioning it in that Elle interview and songs like Te Felicito and Monotonía and Me Gusta, as you were saying, the subconscious was probably working through that song, but through this one where she names him, you know? So, and it's interesting the comparison that you're making with Taylor Swift, because as a Swiftie as well, I wouldn't say I'm nearly at the level of being a Swiftie as I am a Shaki fan, but I've been a fan of hers for several albums and in different eras. And in her albums several years ago, Taylor Swift would, in her lyric books, she would leave messages like secret codes in mm-hmm. each song. So fans would learn who the song was about, or little tips about who it could be about, or things like that. Until I think that the level of fame that Taylor eventually had kind of made her want to stop being so clear about all of those details. And so then she came out with two albums during the pandemic that were much more ambiguous, and where she said, you know, these songs are largely not based on my life. So that's just an example of artists who are both, I would say, at the top of their game or at a really high level of success, are managing being vulnerable through their songs, because Taylor is now trying to do different types of songs that are not necessarily so autobiographical. Whereas we learned through Kaiten, he said, you know, Shakira can't do that. Like, she mm-hmm. can only write about songs that feel authentic to her, because she has to have lived them. So I just really think that this example is very powerful, and all of the other posts that she's been making, like I said, about like women and valuing themselves, and that we need to keep picking ourselves up after all of this happens, is just really a powerful example to see as a fan.
Puede haber como una metáfora en eso que dice Katie, ¿no? Porque creo que todos hemos estado en alguna situación que a lo mejor nos hemos probado, alguna ropa, unos zapatos, ¿no? Que no son de nuestra talla. Los podemos usar, pero no nos sentimos del todo bien, ¿no?
Well, I mean, I still enjoy songs like Chasing Shadows, for example, or You Don't Care About Me is not my fave, but that's another one that I know she didn't write. And it's kind of, or covers that she'll do, you know, on her tours or just other collabs that she'll do with other artists where they're the ones who wrote the song. I still enjoy seeing Shakira as an artist in those facets and those outlets, but I think it's understandable that as fans we will connect with her the most when we know that it's coming directly from her experience.
¿Y crees que tenga que ver también el éxito de la canción con que ella se haya juntado con este equipo que de cierta forma le aporta frescura?
I think so, yeah. She worked with different songwriters on these recent songs for sure, and most of them are quite young. So mm-hmm. I wonder if they have different perspectives that they can bring to the writing sessions, or they're just in touch with other trends that are happening in the music world, either in front or behind the scenes that we don't know as fans. So that bring a kind of a new touch or a new aspect to her songwriting. I know that she worked with Kaitin, and he, I think, is like 23 or 24. And Bizarrap is also in his early 20s. And Santiago Alvarado, he's in his early 20s too. So I think that they're maybe pulling out different aspects of her artistic personality that perhaps other songwriters that she collaborates with, like Luis Fernando Ochoa, who obviously I love, but I think that they just bring out a different side, you know, and I can connect with all of them. But I think you're right. The team that she worked with on this song specifically brought out something unique.
Podemos estar de acuerdo en que Shakira se salió de su zona de confort.
For sure. You can tell that this song is definitely a blend of Bizarrap's style and her style, because it definitely feels to me like a Shakira song. I don't feel like I don't recognize the person in this song. I definitely do. But it's like, wow, this is new, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to mention that Bizarrap does these sessions on his YouTube, and it's like one individual song and that's it. Like, it's a one-time thing.
En mi caso, yo la verdad es que nunca hubiera imaginado que Shakira fuera capaz de ser tan honesta y sacar una canción como de este tipo.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. I've probably said the word shocked like 20 times already in this episode, but I'm still in that phase where I'm like, oh my God, she really said that and that and that all in the same freaking song. That's crazy.
Pero me gusta que ella se haya arriesgado, ¿no? Porque yo creo que esto sí fue una apuesta muy grande. Afortunadamente todo salió para bien, pero yo creo que ella sí sabía que podía tomar dos vertientes la canción, ¿no? O que la gente la tomara para muy mal o para muy bien, ¿no? Mm-hmm. No iba a haber como puntos medios. Mm-hmm. Si iba a ir hacia un lado o hacia el otro, ¿no?
Yeah, it's obviously a very controversial song in a way because society isn't used to supporting women expressing all of their emotions. And I think that Shakira was smart to release some other songs that showed like different facets of her emotional state after the breakup, and to release those songs first, because I haven't spent time looking at criticism of the song, but I have heard here and there from other fans that there's people criticizing the song who are saying, oh, she's trying to take advantage, or what about her kids, and what about her own, what will people think about her after the song has come out and everything. But I think that she was smart to release those other songs first and then do this, because if there's criticism now a year after and it's basically been all but confirmed that he cheated on her, imagine if she would have just confirmed that they broke up and then like 2 weeks later dropped this song. I think the criticism and the pushback against this song would be even stronger.
¿Tú crees que después de esta canción ella va a volver a hablar de su ruptura?
I mean, I imagine she was with him for 12 years, so I'm sure that there are songs that she was already working on, because even like about it, around the time that now we know they were about to break up, she had already said that her next album is done. And so I'm sure that there's songs that are related to their relationship in some way, because he was, to our knowledge, her only partner for like 12 years. So I'm sure that there's things there, but I don't know if it will be about the breakup, or maybe there'll be other self-empowerment songs, or there will be more political songs, or I don't know. There's a lot of other things that she could talk about.
¿Y crees que la canción en algún momento se vuelve un clásico de ella?
For me, it already is. ¿Sí? I mean, for me, this is a before and after for sure.
Y es que yo creo que la mayoría, bueno, del fandom, estábamos esperando una canción del tipo, pues lo que más, antología, ¿no? Que más o menos por ahí en algún momento podría caer monotonía, ¿no?
Yeah, I think that that's more aligned with some of the songs that you're mentioning.
Pero no, nunca nos íbamos a imaginar que sacara una canción como esta.
No, this is like, imagine if like, Si Te Vas plus Mon Amor plus like, Ciega Sordomuda in a way plus, I mean, keep adding to the list. Like all those were together on one track, like 3 minutes of just all those songs together plus name dropping your ex, the ex specifically and the other woman. I mean, that is like crazy, so...
Y es que yo creo que al parecer la loba estaba como un poco calmada, ¿no? Dedicándose a ser mamá.
Yeah.
Pero lastimaron a la loba.
I know. And now she came back out of her cage. Totally. And I've been thinking about how this song came out in January. And, you know, it was January 1st, I believe, that she posted her post about how there's still hope for love and we need to forgive people and value ourselves. Sí. And then like a few weeks later, she's like, ha ha ha, that was a joke. Love is fucking dead. You're dead to me. This is over. I can't believe this. And it's just like interesting. I mean, she can contain multitudes as we all do, but I think nobody expected this type of an aggressive type breakup song, especially after we were like, oh, January 1st. Yay. Shakira is healing her wounds. And that even made me think like in January when she posted that, I was like, oh, she's like... curando sus heridas poco a poco, you know, like related to that Día de Enero lyric. I was like, oh, good. She's taking care of herself, which all of this can exist at the same time. Of course, just her post doesn't negate the song, but it just set it up so that nobody was expecting it, you know, just like a few weeks later, like, holy crap, she dropped that song after that post. What?
Y ya con esa publicación de por sí ya, que fue también tendencia y se hizo muy viral, porque todos podíamos reconocer, ¿no?, a quién se estaba refiriendo, ¿no?, en la parte que decía que a pesar de que nos traicionen y que todo eso. Uh-huh. Y aún así, como te decía, ¿no?, incluso con las referencias en el video de Te Felicito, o en el de Monotonía, o incluso en esa publicación que mencionas de Año Nuevo, pensábamos que las indirectas ya eran... muy fuertes, ¿no?
I know. I feel like I was so innocent. I was like, I remember being shocked. Like, Te Felicito, at first I was like, wait, but she's still with PK, because at the time that it came out, they publicly were still together. So I was like, oh, this feels kind of like random, but maybe she's just trying something new. Okay. And I liked the musical side of that song. And I know we'll do our whole deep analysis of that song when we get there. But at that time, I was like, this feels kind of incongruent of where she is in her life. But then, bam, we knew that they broke up. So then I was like, whoa. And then Monotonía came out and I was like, okay. And then the post. And I kind of felt that the post, especially because she made it on January 1st and she was saying, our tears are not in vain. I'm moving forward. And even while we have heartbreak, we can continue to love. I was like, okay, she's kind of leaving it behind. That was, you know, last year. Now it's 2023. But now it's like, oh my God. Okay. Get it, Shakira.
Noticia de último momento. El cumpleaños número 46 de nuestra diosa licántropa está acercándose.
We invite all our listeners to participate in the 14th annual Shakira Birthday Video Project. If you're listening to this in January 2023, check out the link in this episode's description for all the details. You can send in art, video, photo, or audio that will be compiled to celebrate Shakira's birthday. Now, back to the episode. Before moving to take a look at the video, one last song that I feel like the Bizarrap session song relates to is also La Bicicleta, because it's the second song where Shakira mentions Piqué by name. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking when she did that, I was like, okay, you must really think that this relationship is forever and always, because you know that you're a public person. People will always remember your songs. So if you mentioned him, I feel like she must have been very convicted that that was the right relationship for her. And now here we see that she's mentioning him directly again and from a totally different angle, that she's completely sure that he's no longer the person for her.
Y que yo creo que hasta ya había aprendido la lección. En algún momento creo que haber leído o escuchado que ella ya no iba a incluir a esas parejas en los videos, ¿no? Porque como sabemos, en la era Laundry Service, ¿en cuántos videos incluyó Antonio de la Rúa?
I think just underneath your clothes, right?
No, que me quedes tú al final también.
That's really him?
Sí.
Oh my God, what? Okay, I have to go back and look. Okay. Okay.
Y bueno, también aparece en el documental de En Vivo y en Privado.
Yeah, definitely.
Pero como tú dices, yo creo que en algún momento ella pensó que esto sí iba a durar más de 12 años o para siempre. Mm-hmm. ¿No?
Totally. No, I just feel like that's very shocking. So I'm curious what will happen with songs like La Bicicleta and Me Enamoré. Like, is that song dead now? Or let me tell you something, Sam. To be honest with you, I've never been a big fan of what we could see from the outside of this relationship. I thought, okay, she's happy, so I'll be happy for her. But I just like had this sensation that he felt kind of mediocre to me compared to her because I respect her so much. So I'm sure that I'm not objective about this. I know that I'm very biased as a fan, but it's just like, to know that she went from songs like 23 to Broken Record and now like we're here, it's just kind of like interesting to see the how the relationship has transformed. And something I wanted to say too is that when the song was first released and we started to text each other, the very, very first text that you sent me was ¿Cómo pasamos de me enamoré hasta aquí?
Sí. Pero es lo que te decía, ¿no? Así como nos contó al principio, nos tuvo que contar el final. No la debía.
So interesting. Yeah, what a transformation. I feel like we've been through a lot with her through this journey.
Y ella lo dejó ver en la entrevista que le hicieron para la revista Elle, ¿no? Ahí nos confiesa que sí es verdad todo lo que nos imaginábamos en el fandom, ¿no? Que había dejado de lado su carrera profesional por estar con él en Barcelona, moverse a Barcelona, ¿no? Uh-huh. Dejar a su familia, uh-huh. sus amistades. Una vida que ya tenía, que a pesar de que ella se consideraba como nómada, pero esa era su vida, ¿no? Y de repente pasó de ser esa nómada a establecerse en Barcelona. Incluso yo creo que hasta dejar de brillar un poco para que su ahora ex brillara un poco más, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Elle magazine interview, which we will link in the show notes, was very revealing. And it made me feel like really connected to her again as a fan, because for a long time, to be honest, I feel like she was kind of so focused on her family and that relationship, which she has every right to. And I'm not saying I don't want her to have been with Gerard, because I know that he brought her a lot of happiness for a long time. And I'm not saying that I don't want her to be a mom or anything, but I feel like because we weren't getting so much interaction with her, it just started to feel like she kind of took for granted her own self-worth and the things that she had to offer. And so in this song, it just really makes me feel like reconnected to her. And that interview last year too, where she was touching on some of the same topics that are in this song, it just made me feel like, okay, good. She like feels confident again. And this makes me feel really proud of her that she's in this place.
En algún momento también había como un tipo broma o chiste dentro del fandom, ¿no? Que decían, cuando vuelva a tronar, bueno, cuando vuelva a romperse una relación, y que era la de Piqué, ¿no? Uh-huh. Sabíamos que iban a venir canciones interesantes y creo que la profecía se cumplió.
It's true. To be honest, that is true. And I love this song and I'm glad that it exists given that the breakup happened. But I will say, I think it's kind of disrespectful when fans will say like, oh, can't wait for, you know, this artist to go through a breakup. Imagine if Adele had a breakup, or, you know, fans were saying that about Adele, or fans are saying that about Taylor Swift, like, can't wait for that relationship to end because we'll get a great album. I feel like that's so selfish and disrespectful. At least I know that not all of us have met Shakira. She's not all of our real friends and friend in our real lives or anything, but it's like, as people who admire her, I think we should keep reminding ourselves that she's a person first and we should want her to be well. So I'm not happy that she went through this, and I don't want to have an album of just breakup songs. I want her happiness and well-being to come first. And I just wanted to say that because sometimes I see those comments and it feels like so egotistical from the fans' perspectives to be like looking forward to that. It's like, shouldn't we be looking forward to Shakira being well and taking care of herself and being in a good place? So I think it's important to mention that.
Pero creo que hasta ella lo menciona, ¿no? En algún momento en el documental, que las mejores canciones son aquellas que vienen como del dolor.
She says from nostalgia, que la nostalgia es un sentimiento muy fértil.
Y creo que se puede también corroborar no solo como con artistas como Taylor. Me viene a la mente también letras de las rancheras, que en su mayoría también son como de despecho, ¿no? De enojo, de desamor.
Yeah, I think that this song is also an example of that. No matter how much fame, success, privilege you have, I mean, you're still a person. And so I think it's like humanizing in a way to know that Shakira has gone through something like this. Again, I don't want her to have gone through it, but because it already happened and she is choosing to share it with us, it's like, oh damn, if Shakira can go through this and she feels like heartbroken, all the phases of a breakup, you know, pissed, surprised, confused, heartbroken, and now confident again. It's humanizing because it's like, oh, okay. It's validating to know that she's going through something that a lot of us can relate to.
Y creo que aquí también parte de del éxito, no sé si también llamarlo morbo, es saber que una persona como ella, en su éxito, en, la pueden también engañar, puede también sufrir. De cierta forma, sobre todo ahora como lo mencionabas, las mujeres se sienten identificadas, ¿no? No solo como con la gran artista, que ya de por sí es como un ejemplo a seguir, pero sino también con la mujer vulnerable.
No, totally. It definitely humanizes her. And even other challenges that she's gone through, like she's shared a little bit about the things that she's been experiencing with her dad and how his health is declining. I mean, knowing that she has different challenges in other areas of her life too, reminds us that she's a person. It doesn't matter how much money is in your bank account. It doesn't matter, you know, how big your house is, how many Grammys you've won. Life is still going to happen to you. Nothing can stop it.
Y sobre todo que también ella, hasta este momento, que abrió un poquito más la puerta a su intimidad, porque ella siempre había sido muy reservada, sobre todo en los rompimientos, como hablábamos de canciones. Sí escribía canciones sobre ruptura, sobre coraje, sobre enojo, pero siempre era muy sutil.
It was just unclear who they were about, so it made it feel more ambiguous or not so direct. Like everybody has been calling these other songs Monotonía, Me Gusta, or Felicito. Indirectas. Shakira lanza una directa a Gerard Piqué. It's like, no, now nothing is indirect. Now she's like, fucking listen up. This is what's happened. I'm going to talk about it and bam.
Ya por último quisiera preguntarte algo. ¿Qué crees que haya pasado en su mente como para hacer este cambio? Porque incluso lo menciona en una de sus últimas publicaciones que hizo a raíz de la canción, que dice que lo que para ella era una catarsis, pues resultó ser todo un boom. Pero al mismo tiempo habla de que ya ella nos iba, ya no iba a seguir comportándose, ¿no? Como la gente esperaba. ¿Pero qué crees que haya sido eso que le hizo como cambiar algo ahí?
I'm going to imagine that it's a combination of things like therapy, support from her friends, her relationship with her parents, her relationship with her children, hopefully the support also from fans that have been there for her, and just her relationship with herself. I mean, through any breakup, you go through ups and downs, and maybe one day you're glad that the relationship is over, and then another day you're sad. But eventually, when you arrive at that place where you have to accept that the relationship is over, hopefully she's been able to take care of herself and know, like, this is over and I deserve better. Even if better doesn't mean I'm going to be in another relationship again immediately or even ever, you know, she just is focusing on herself now. And so I'm really glad to see that she's prioritizing herself. So I think that part of the change has come from all of those different areas of support that I hope that she's been having in her life.
También siento que de alguna forma nos deja entrever que ya anteriormente había querido como salirse de la caja, ¿no? Pero se había detenido, ¿no? Y que esta vez dijo, ya, o sea, esta soy yo, esta es mi forma de expresarme y pues si me van a juzgar, pero pues que sea por ser honesta conmigo misma, ¿no? Yo creo que eso fue lo que pensó.
Mm-hmm, totally. And she said somewhere in the Elle interview that a lot of women go through breakups and go through similar things, but she said that there's elements to her breakup that are very particular. And we know that, like, not everybody's breakup is public. When I've gone through breakups, it's not trending on Twitter, you know? Billboard isn't writing articles about my breakups, you know what I mean? So she's gone through being the center of a hurricane without necessarily her full voice being heard. And I think that now she was ready for more of her own experience to be heard and understood and for it to not be so ambiguous. She was ready to just say exactly what she had gone through. Because I think there have been paparazzis outside of her house, you know, for years. There's been fans who are talking shit about her or talking great about her, but it could be ill-informed. We don't know if what they're saying is absolutely correct. There's, you know, a lot of speculation about every area of her life. And now she's just saying no. She waited most of last year. She did release Te Felicito. She did the Elle interview. She did release Monotonía. But then overall, she was quiet. And I think that during that time, I'm assuming she was, you know, crying a lot and hopefully going to therapy and whatever other forms of self-care that helped her value herself. But now she was just ready to say, you know, like, I have more to say about this. And you all have been talking. Now it's my time to talk. There's also a phrase in English where we say, it's better to be seen and not heard. And I think Shakira is ready to be heard. Well, speaking about how Shakira's breakup has been so seen by the public, do you want to watch the video together?
Vamos a verlo. Es momento de
cámara, acción.
El video está terminado. Ya lo van a ver.
All right, Sam, should we talk about this video, which has broken all types of records?
Bueno, primero quiero contarles algo. Bueno, lo que quiero contarles es que, a diferencia de otros colaboradores de Gonzalo, o mejor conocido como Visa, siempre son ellos o ellas o ellas quienes van a su estudio. De hecho, su estudio se encuentra localizado en el municipio de Ramos Mejía, en Buenos Aires, Argentina. Pero Shakira no viajó al estudio de Visa a grabar ni la canción ni el video, sino todo lo contrario. Fue el equipo de Visa el cual se tuvo que mover con todo y estudio a la casa de Shaki. Bueno, esto es un decir porque la verdad es que ambientaron prácticamente al 100% el estudio de Visa en la casa de Shaki. A no ser por ahí, el único detalle que se les fue el clima, que aparece casi siempre atrás de los colaboradores, pero todo lo demás es prácticamente lo mismo. ¿Habías notado eso?
Yeah, in the other sessions that I've watched, they have like the same artwork and some of the same design elements with the lighting and everything. So I figured because we had seen some like filtered photos of some of Bizarrap's team going to Shakira's house that they made it there, but I didn't really know where his studio was located. So that's good to know that he's like based in Argentina.
En ese estudio es donde se graban todos los videos de las colaboraciones. Y lo sé porque también una de mis colaboraciones favoritas es con el rapero mexicano alemán. Y él, antes de grabar la sesión con Visa, que fue la número 13, él compartió en sus redes sociales el proceso creativo. Incluso nos dejó ver un poquito como la entrada de la casa de Visa, cómo era la entrada del estudio también. Entonces, por eso es que les comentaba que a diferencia de otros colaboradores, pues Shakira no se movió a Argentina, sino fueron los del equipo de Visa quienes se movieron a casa de Shakira a montar el estudio para que se viera como si fuera las otras sesiones.
And while we're at this first scene of the video, I'll just say that when I pressed play that first time and I saw her looking just like dead into the camera, like I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fun and so crazy. What is about to happen? And I think it's really interesting how she like turns, you know, I just like how she like moves her body in that first scene where she's like, patipos como tú. Just like that opening shot is already like catching my attention. I'm like, oh my gosh, something serious is about to happen. And isn't it kind of interesting how when they write her name on the screen, it says Shakira and then the letters start disappearing and it just goes back to Sha? Like, I never think of her as Sha. Like, I think of her as, like, Shaq or Shaki. Like, I don't really get why they did that. Because I looked at a few other sessions and they, like, leave the artist's full name on the screen. So I don't understand why it was, like, Shakira. And then it was, like, Sha at the end. Do you have any theories? It's so random.
No, pero, o sea, el primer efecto cuando aparece el nombre sí aparece como por sílabas, ¿no? Mm-hmm. Pero no vuelve a desaparecer, como tú mencionas, ¿no?
Exactly.
Y en este caso solamente se queda como Sha. ¿Quién sabe? Ajá. Uh-huh. Igual fue un error de continuidad ahí en el editor de los videos de Visa, que me imagino que sí es... bueno, no sé, ya veremos más adelante si alguien nos podrá decir también si es el mismo director de todos los videos, porque vamos a encontrar cositas interesantes más adelante.
Oh, true. I actually found the director of this one.
¿Sí?
Yeah, Julia Conde. So we'll mention her in a little bit because she's also related to the like animated part.
Oh, ya sé quién es ella. Creo que paparazzi, el que sigue a Gerard y Shaki, le tomó una foto saliendo de la casa de Shaki.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah, I want to talk about her a little bit more when we get to the animated part of the video because she also helped with the illustrations.
Otra cosa también que quiero notar es que Shaki nos había dado un pequeño guiño, por así decirlo, de su look para este video. No sé si recuerdas que cuando estuvo promocionando, por así decirlo, la canción de Monotonía, ella publicó un video con las uñas de este color verde, ¿no? Que ya sabíamos que era un poco extraño que ella tuviera ese color de uñas como casualmente. Sabíamos que algo estaba planeando. Uh-huh. Entonces me imagino que a la par que estaba grabando el video de Monotonía, pocos días después grabó también este video, ¿no?
Something I wanted to mention earlier is that Kaitin said in an interview that they began to write this song the day after Bizarrap's birthday, which would mean that they started to write this on August 30th of 2022. And that was also when she tweeted him, if you remember. So we figured that something was happening. But in terms of the video itself, We can tell that based off the Instagram post that you're mentioning, because of her green nails that were in this video, as we later learned, it must have been filmed sometime between September or October, because she has posts where she was celebrating the billion streams for Hips Don't Lie on Spotify, where she has the green nails. And that was posted on September 27th of 2022. And her hair also looks exactly the same as it was in that video. And like you said, when she was promoting Monotonia, she also did a little a cappella clip, which to this day is the most she has performed that song. And that was posted on October 15th. So sometime last fall was when they were working on this video. You're absolutely correct.
Sí, tienes toda la razón. Justamente el cumpleaños de Visa fue el 29, que lo felicita. Y ahora, gracias a esta entrevista de Katyn, sabemos que lo felicitó básicamente porque estaban juntos, ¿no? Uh-huh. Trabajando. Que de hecho, el fandom se nos hizo muy raro porque Shaki no suele hacer ese tipo de publicaciones, ¿no? Es muy contada las veces que felicita a alguna figura pública por algún motivo, ya sea cumpleaños, que haya logrado algo, ¿no? Uh-huh. Entonces sí se nos hizo como muy sospechoso que de la nada felicitara a Visa, ¿no? Y él le contesta así como gracias, ¿no? Uh-huh. Pero pues ahora ya sabemos que era un guiño esta colaboración. Y todo tiene sentido ahora en retrospectiva, porque para esas fechas, que fue más o menos del verano del año 2021, Visa se encontraba de gira en España. Entonces me imagino que cuadraron las fechas para poder trabajar al final de la gira con Shaki.
Wow, justamente. O sea, Visa hace giras.
Ajá, sí, okay. Estaba de gira justamente, empezó más o menos en junio de 2021.
Órale.
Y la última fecha que tuvo creo que fue el primero de septiembre, algo así me parece, o a finales de agosto, porque la chica que te comentaba fue fotografía del primero de septiembre saliendo de la casa de Shaki.
True. Okay, I just picture like Visa only exists in his studio in my mind, which as you mentioned is in Buenos Aires, so I never imagined that he would go on a tour. Like he just exists in that hat with those sunglasses in his studio permanently in my mind. So okay, good to know. Also, I just need to say she looks fucking incredible. She looks beautiful, hot, amazing, very confident just from the beginning of this video.
Me da risa la manita de Visa haciendo no cuando Shaki dice yo contigo ya no vuelvo. Ya no.
Wait, let me go back. I want to see that. That actually reminds me of another friend of mine who is a deep Shaki fan, but had not heard of Bizarrap and so didn't really understand like the format of these sessions or anything. And he watched the whole thing and then he texted me and he was like, wait a minute, what happened with the guy in the corner? Like,
¿por qué no canta? ¿Por qué no hace nada?
Exactly. Why isn't he singing with her?
¿Por qué está estorbando?
Exactly. He's just sitting there. Like, I thought this was going to be a collab. Like, but again, he's the producer. And so he's like controlling the beats and all of the music and everything. So that's why he's always at his little like music station over there.
Y que al parecer, por lo que tengo entendido, o sea, darle esta atmósfera de que todo es en el estudio de Visa. Un poquito de la historia de Visa es que era un chico que estaba en la universidad estudiando, pero que decidió irse por el mundo de los beats, de la música, como pequeño productor y DJ. Y yo creo que quiere conservar esta misma vibra, ¿no? De al final está mandando un mensaje, ¿no? Que como no se necesita de un gran estudio para lograr un gran éxito, ¿no? Creo que está mandando ese mensaje en todos sus videos. Que desde literal, un cuarto al lado de su recámara crea los mejores éxitos. Porque recordemos que antes de esta colaboración con Shaki viene una colaboración también muy exitosa que fue con Quevedo, que también llegó al número uno a nivel global.
Wow, I didn't know that session uh-huh. had also gone number one. That's pretty cool.
Sí, o sea, básicamente este es su segundo número uno a nivel global en Spotify.
Wow, that's so cool. And especially for an artist like Shakira, I think we're used to like very large budget uh-huh. videos. So to see her do something that's very simplistic is really impressive.
Bueno, que tampoco es que haya mucha diferencia en algunos otros videos de Shakira que también son un poco simples.
I know we've talked about how there's little like mistakes and things mm-hmm. in other videos, but we have to be real. There's just like very minimalistic style here. So I think it's really cool that she pulled that all off. When we get to Chismecito, we're going to do a full lyrical analysis. So I want to just point out only a few things here that are relevant to the video. But when she says the word campeón, you can tell that she's like making it very clear. Like we know who we are talking about in this song and we're less than 30 seconds into the song. She's already established. We know who she's singing to.
El gesto que ella hace es evidente de un futbolista alzando una copa.
Exactly, yes.
Cuando dice campeón. Sí.
Exactly.
O sea, no hay duda de a quién se está refiriendo, ¿no?
Exactly.
Haré esa seña recordando cuando Gerard ganó la Copa de Sudáfrica.
Oh, no.
Ahí es algo interesante lo que mencionas, que recuerdo que, bueno, tanto tú como yo estamos más familiarizados con estos videos de las sesiones y que hemos notado que por lo general, como mencionabas, no tienen gran presupuesto. Por lo general son casi siempre como dos cámaras, ¿no? Que están uh-huh. ubicadas en lados opuestos. Incluso en algunos videos se puede observar cómo creo que no hay nadie o alguien más del equipo de producción. Siento yo que son cámaras fijas, porque dependiendo de los movimientos, incluso algunas tomas se llegan a desenfocar. Pero en el caso de Shaki, no veo que eso suceda. Siento que sí fueron un poco más cuidadosos a la hora de grabar el video.
What a good catch. I'm glad that you caught that. You have an eagle eye. Oh my gosh, the gesture that she does with Novatos, she's just like, oh my gosh, like, you're almost nothing to me. You know, like, I'm so much more advanced and I'm much more confident in myself. Like, I can't believe I ever went out with you. Just like that, like, small gesture she
makes. Y le brillan los ojos, ¿no? Como si se apoderara de ella una fuerza de otro mundo.
So the gesture where she's saying novato, I just really like because she just looks like very frustrated and is putting him down.
Y aquí vemos la transición a caricatura, ¿o cómo le llamaríamos?
Yeah, animated, illustrated.
Sí, dibujos animados.
And this is where I wanted to mention that there was actually a director for this video, which, forgive me, I just wouldn't have assumed that there would necessarily be a director because it's so simplistic, but of course it makes sense. And so the video was directed by Julia Conde, and her Instagram is just Julita Conde. And on there, you can see a post where she was sharing about this video. And she said that she made the animation portion of this video as well, and that she was inspired to make an homage to her favorite video ever, which is for the song Take On Me by the Norwegian pop synth band. Uh-huh. And I'm sure a lot of Shaki fans will recognize that song. And you can look up the video. It's a mix of both like real life video and then also animation.
Y tomando en cuenta que, por ejemplo, el video de Take On Me es de los 80s, ¿no? Mm-hmm. Había como un poco menos de desarrollo tecnológico y es un video muy bien creado. De hecho, es un icono en la industria de la música ese videoclip por el tipo de animación que se utiliza. Me llama mucho la atención el nombre de la directora del video porque comparte el apellido con Visa.
Oh, Conde.
No sé si sea su hermana, su prima, pero o familiares, ¿no? Tal vez sí sean familiares. No sé. Si alguien sabe, por favor, cuéntenos ese chismecito.
Yeah, interesting. And I also, at first when it came out and I saw this, I wasn't super in love with the animated part because it felt kind of random. And because I had watched several sessions before and they never did that, I didn't understand why that was necessary or exactly what was going on. And I know that I've listened to the song Take On Me a million times, but I don't even know the lyrics. I just recognize it from being on the radio. So I don't really know if they're also talking about infidelity or cheating or anything. But I will say that the animated part does remind me of Objection and Te Aviso, Te Anuncio, where Shakira has a mix of, you know, like real mm-hmm. video. And then also there's an animated part where Shakira's character in that video wants to go kind of attack her partner for cheating on her. So I was curious, like, if that was also part of the inspiration that Shakira had. We know that Julia or Julia's inspiration was from the Take On Me video, but it's just kind of interesting because no other session had that. So it just kind of made me think of Objection.
Y ahora lo que mencionaba también con el desarrollo tecnológico de hoy en día, me llama la atención que en esas publicaciones que comparte la directora del video, nos deje ver que prácticamente sí fue una animación artesanal, ¿no? O sea, son dibujos cuadro por cuadro, que ahora digo, hubiera sido muy sencillo hacerlo, no sé, con algún filtro de computadora, con algún tipo de efecto.
And I wonder if that inspiration is connected to the vibe of the song, because to me, like I mentioned earlier, this song to me is not a reggaeton or like urbano song, like fully. There's some of that production there, but it also has some of those vibes that's like 70s, 80s, like electro pop, kind of like Take On Me, but also it reminds me of like Don't Wait Up, you know, where there's mm-hmm. that like 70s style. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if the animation is also connected
Incluso
to that.
Incluso un poco suena también poder tener como algunas vibras como de Te Felicito, ¿no? O sea, esta como vibra retro, ¿no?
Exactly.
Combinándolo como entre Lo nuevo y lo viejo.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of artists have been doing songs that have that like 70s retro vibe. I mean, even starting with Chasing Shadows that we mentioned in our...
Incluso podría decirte que también el video entonces podría tener esa vibra, ¿no? Visualmente, conjuntando algunas vibras de los 80s con esta referencia a lo mejor con Take On Me y también combinándolo con esta tendencia que creo Visa, uh-huh. estas luces como neón, que también ahí tuvo mucho que ver el outfit que ella eligió. Ella ya sabía debido al color de la luz. Incluso el color de las uñas no creo que sea tan aleatorio, ¿no? Ella sabía que tenía que elegir un color de uñas que también pudiera resaltar con la luz del video.
Absolutely. I think that was a very intentional choice so that her hand gestures would be more eye-catching. You would notice her gestures more.
De hecho, mi amiga Liz el otro día me estaba preguntando qué tipo de verde será ese barniz de uñas y lo único que se me ocurre es que puede ser color verde venganza.
Speaking about her outfit in this video, I came across a post by Evelyn Matei, and she is a past diplomat, senator, and minister from Chile, and she shared details about this shirt. So I'll make sure to include that on our social media when we're promoting this episode so everybody can see, but it's kind of fun. And Evelyn shared a post of her wearing the shirt and then sharing that Shakira also wore it, and she said, "Cuando vi que Shakira me copió mi blusa, me piqué. Pero hoy, claramente, creo que es un orgullo coincidir en gustos de ropa con una gran artista. Terminando la semana con un poco de humor."
Recuerden que también pueden consultar el detalle del outfit en el perfil de Shaki Closet con Historia, donde también ya nos tiene el detalle.
Yes, our friend Fresia over there from Chile must be working overtime. You know what just occurred to me right now? Is that perhaps having a mix of the animation and the real video could be a metaphor for how Shakira feels like some of the story is like made up by the press or people don't really know the whole story and she's here to tell the whole story. And so the animated part could be a metaphor for how part of her breakup has been speculated so much, but she's here to tell the real story. That's why the whole video is an animation. Just an idea. Okay, can you see it like 105 or 106 on the right side, you see her hand. When it's transitioning from the animated part and it zooms over to Bisa and then it goes back, you can see her hand like come in.
Aunque creo que también es como un pequeño error de edición.
Exactly. Sí. Oh my goodness.
Justamente después de esto que hablamos en el minuto 1-1, vemos como Bisa toca en el teclado una pequeña melodía que es directamente una referencia a la canción de Me Enamoré. No queda más duda que este es el final de la historia.
That was the beginning and this is the end.
Exacto.
Another note about the nails, I feel like they're her claws as the loba.
Cierto.
Not only because of like the color, just to catch your attention, but like how long they are. Like it's very rare that Shakira has long nails. So, and she's mentioning herself. She's referring to herself here as the she-wolf again. So I think that it might be connected to that.
Sí, y es muy raro ver a Shakira con las uñas tan arregladas. ¿No? Ya lo habías mencionado en algún momento también, ¿no?
Absolutely. Oh, her face when she says, "Yo contigo no regreso ni que me llores ni me supliques." She's just like, please, you can go cry in the corner. I don't feel bad for you. You did what you did. You know what you did. And I am moving on. At minute 119... where she's saying the lyric, "Yo solo hago música, perdón que te salpique," which we will get to. Oh my God. And she like moves her hair out of the way so that you can see her bra. Are you fucking kidding me? She looks so hot. I'm like, oh my God. But it just like, she is so empowered here. It's just like great to see her look so confident.
Ahora te voy a decir también, como mencionábamos en algún momento en el episodio de antes de las 6, en el lenguaje corporal, el mostrar así de frente, resaltando el pecho, es una seña de honestidad, de valentía, ¿no? Es así como de, yo estoy aquí lista para recibirlo.
Come at me. Yeah, I have nothing to hide.
Y inmediatamente después de esto viene una escena que creo que es mi favorita del video, donde cuando ella dice salpique, que es como si se salpicara la pantalla o la cámara, y la mano de Visa limpia.
Yeah, I love that part. It's a really cool transition. And I'll say with that scene too, where he wipes the camera and then she goes into the next lyric, I had thought up until that point of the song that this was like a one take video, but you can see that she's positioned in a slightly different way, so this has to have been various takes, which is fine. I just was I didn't think of that at first. and like 125 to 130. Bizarrap is in the back just like, yeah, girl, tell them. You tell them. Las mujeres facturan.
Ese sonido me encanta y también la señal que ella hace.
Totally. So iconic. Like, already iconic. Like, the fact that she's just like, I'm gonna fucking make money from this. You thought that you fucked me over? No, 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 no. Okay, when we get to 142, that's where Shakira looks down at one of the lower cameras, because we remember there's four, I believe, camera angles. And that's where she says the other big, like, name drop of the song, aside from Pique. Here's where she says claramente. The angle of the camera that she's looking at is below her. So it's as if she's speaking down to Clara, because Shakira is above Clara. And every time that she says Pique, just a few seconds ago when she said Pique, as well as the few times that she says claramente, she's always looking down at the camera. It's as if she feels that she is superior.
Mm-hmm. Los ve por debajo, ¿no?
Exactly.
Así, como digo, ustedes son... Ustedes están allá abajo, ¿no? Y yo aquí arriba. Sí. Mm-hmm. También me gusta así como esa seña sarcástica que hace, ¿no? Como tocándose el corazón cuando menciona por primera vez claramente.
Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, you thought you were so sweet and innocent, but I know the truth. Gesture that she does at like 150, where she puts her hands together and like bows forward. What do you think that means?
Como los angelitos cuando juntan sus manos.
¿No? Wow.
Sí, o sea, es otra seña sarcástica, ¿no? Así de como... Sí, esto de juntar así las manos es como muy de angelito, como ella lo hace.
Mm-hmm. She's like bowing forward, like, oh, you're so humble. Mm-hmm. You're like a saint.
Or... Exacto. Sí.
Yeah. And then like around 155, she starts to do these like fun dance moves with her arms. And it's just kind of fun to see her be like Shakira, you know, still being Shakira. Because as we know, Shakira can be very choreographed, I guess, but this is kind of more freestyled, it seems. I'm sure she thought of what she wanted to do, but it's just fun to see her like...
¿Por qué crees que haga esa seña cuando dice a ti te quede grande? O sea, sí, ella está como con sus manos confirmando que ella es superior a ellos.
Yeah, that gesture I haven't entirely figured out yet. I don't really know what that one means. And then at like 206, 207, she points directly in the camera when she's like, pa tipos como tú. You know, like Gerard, when you see this, you know it's for you.
Oh, no me había dado cuenta que cuando ella menciona cero rencor, bebé, tanto ella como Visa hacen la seña así como del cero.
Yeah, that's at 214. Wow, that's crazy. So he's like supporting her 100%, mm-hmm. It seems.
Ahí también Visa confirma que la apoya, ¿no? Porque cuando le dice...
Espero que te vaya bien con mi supuesto reemplazo. He gives a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Esa seña en el minuto 2:23 es muy popular.
Mm-hmm. We have to talk about that. Yeah, yo valgo por 2:22. And she makes the sign that Gerard would always make on the soccer field when he would get a goal. Because for fans who don't know, Shakira and Gerard have the same birthday, which is February 2nd. So he would give 2-2s. And so she's kind of mocking him there.
También ya la había hecho en el video de Te Felicito, ¿recuerdan?
Totally. Good point. Good point. Mm-hmm. This is the second time that she's done the twos. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with how she's like totally slamming him when she's like pointing at her head, when she's like, pero trabaja el cerebro un poquito también. Like, oh, you were just at the gym all the time. You thought that was the only thing that mattered. No, you actually have to be a good person and have values in the correct place. What is wrong with you?
Aunque ya en el chismecito también hablaremos de esa parte, porque por ahí alguien dice que Gerard no va al gimnasio, pero bueno.
Oh, okay, I'm curious to hear what you have to say about that. I'm not gonna lie, when she says aquí me siento un rehén, that really got me, like seeing her like put her hands up together, like saying that she feels like a hostage in her own home because of the whole situation, how there's paparazzi and all this speculation and people criticizing and commenting about it all the whole time. I felt very like tender for her. I was like, oh God, it must be so hard.
Y también esta escena me da vibras de ciega sordomuda cuando la arrestan precisamente.
Oh, interesting. When Shakira bows, when she says Clara's name, I really do think it's more that she's trying to make fun of like a saint, because later in Chismecito, I'll share about Clara's name, meaning. I really like that effect that they have in the video around the 3-minute mark where it kind of like splits back and forth. Mm-hmm. I really like that effect with the different cameras.
Ahí ya como que lo está gozando, ¿no?
Yeah, the last little bit. Okay, I think you're right. Towards the end there where she says, yo te quede grande, when she's doing that gesture, I think you're right that she's trying to make herself look bigger. And she's just like, I'm better than you, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like a confident gesture.
Aquí es donde te digo que ya disfruta el momento, ¿no? En el minuto 3:16, ya ella ya, ¿no? Se soltó, ya está disfrutando la canción, está bailando, lo disfruta, ¿no? Mm-hmm.
She knows that she said what she had to say.
Ajá. Te liberó, ¿no?
Exactly. Aquí sí la loba salió del, mm-hmm. de la jaula. And Bizarrap there then at the end gets his one little moment of fame. You can see his face for the first time in the video. And he says, it's a wrap.
Creo que usamos el mismo editor de audio.
¿Ah, sí?
No, no es cierto. Y me gusta también cómo acaba el video con esto de ya está, chao, ¿no? Como decías al principio, ¿no? Que incluso puede significar que ya, ¿no? O sea, esto ya hasta aquí, ya no más de esto. Se comprometió, no sé cómo llamarlo, se involucró creativamente. Me imagino que tenía referencias o no sé quién haya dirigido, pero es muy común que al final de todas las sesiones de visa también se despidan de él de esta forma, ¿no? Así como de chao, ¿no? Ya acabé, ¿no? Entonces, o sea, siento que todo, que lograron 100% el clima o la estética de los videos de las sesiones de visa, a pesar de que no estaban en su estudio, a pesar de que se tuvieron que mover a casa de Shakira, pero lo lograron a la perfección, ¿no? Bye, ¿no? Y si pueden ver otras sesiones de visa, se van a dar cuenta que con todos los colaboradores, al final se despiden. Mm-hmm.
I really love how Shakira just like smiles after all of that. Mm-hmm. At the end, she's just like smiling and she's like, this is great, you know, I'm ready for a new chapter. She's like, yes, that, chao. Like,
lo hicimos ya.
Exactly, it's over. Like, I can move on officially now.
¿Y crees que se imaginaban todo el éxito?
No, and we'll talk about that when we get to el chismecito.
Okay.
Wow, what a killer video, Sam. So let's switch it up and talk about our favorite lyrics. What would you say is your favorite lyric from this track?
Fue un poco complicado decidirme cuál era mi letra favorita porque hay frases que son muy pegajosas, pero no por eso quiere decir que sean mi letra favorita, como la parte de claramente. Creo que si tengo que elegir una parte favorita de la letra, tendría que ser pues la parte donde menciona el inmencionable. Me gustó que ya no dejara duda para quién es la canción. Así que mi letra favorita es... Entendí que no es culpa mía que te critiquen. Yo solo hago música. Perdón que te salpique. ¿Y la tuya cuál es? ¿Tienes alguna letra favorita?
Okay, yes. I have a favorite part of the song. So it's not just like one little lyric. It's kind of almost like three parts, but they're all back to back. So I love the entire section where she says, me dejaste de vecina a la suegra con la prensa en la puerta y la deuda en hacienda. Te creíste que me heriste y me volviste más dura. Las mujeres ya no lloran, las mujeres facturan. And I love that for like... different reasons for each section. I mean, when you're listening to that song, I feel like it's very catchy and it's very rhythmic at that part of the song. So it just stays stuck in my head. But I really like those three lines for different reasons. So for example, I like that she mentions all of the public issues that she's gone through because I think it's very bold of her to do that. I did not expect her to address those things. And I really like where she says, you thought you hurt me, but you actually made me tougher, because she's like, no. You didn't get away with this. I'm actually going to become a better version of myself because of this experience. I'm unstoppable. And then I love where she says, las mujeres ya no lloran, las mujeres facturan, you know? Women aren't going to cry anymore and let men trample all over them. They're going to start making money. They're going to move forward. They're going to prosper from whatever life throws them, and they're going to move on to better and bigger things. So I just think that's like really cool. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast yet, but I am a financial coach. My background is in personal finance. And so I'm just obsessed with Shakira mentioning something about how women are going to make money and they're going to be boss bitches and they're going to become richer and better and just have money in their pockets. So I really love that whole section.
¿Podrías decir que... ¿O tú consideras que la frase que dice te creíste que me heriste y me volviste más dura también se refiere un poco al video de monotonía?
Oh, interesting. That's an interesting connection, yeah. Like with the metaphor where her heart is still beating, mm-hmm. and she protects it. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I'm not entirely sure. Obviously, we'll never know, and I never plan to speak to that horrible man in my life, Gerard, but I don't know what his intention was in cheating on Shakira, but if his intention was to hurt her, it's interesting to have these metaphors where we know that perhaps, of course, she was hurt at one point, but that's not the end of the story. You know, the story continues. So we see that in the video where she of Monotonia, where she protects her heart and it's still beating and she keeps it locked away for the future when it's really worth it. And we also see here in this lyric, you know, you thought you hurt me, but I actually became tougher, you know, I'm actually an even stronger, more resilient version of myself.
Y sabes qué pasa, que cuando a mí me gusta también esta parte, pero porque fue cuando me dejó más en shock. O sea, iba la letra, ¿no? Ya había pasado lo de salpique, pero cuando menciona a la suegra dije, wow, o sea, va con todo, Shaki. ¿Por qué crees que haya mencionado a la suegra y no al suegro o haya dicho suegros?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know. Do you know much about their relationship?
No. Aunque a lo mejor puede ser por aquello que hablábamos en el episodio de antes de las 6.
¿Por su cabello?
Sí.
Maybe.
Te lo merece un poco.
Yeah.
Una vez leí que con suegras con esas, ¿para qué uno quiere enemigos o enemigas?
Wow.
Con esos consejos de belleza.
Isn't it true that in Spanish, like the when you have like a loaf of bread, the ends of the bread are called suegras porque nadie les quiere?
Creo que es un chiste.
Oh, really? Okay. Sí.
Pero sí, sí, sí sé por qué lo dices. Sí, exactamente. Esas partes del sobre todo del pan de caja. Sí, nadie las quiere.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like a real phrase.
Por otro lado, me llama mucho la atención que creo que esta es la primera vez que habla sobre el problema de Hacienda como tal, ¿no? Bueno, creo que en la entrevista de él, que habíamos hablado también de ella, creo que menciona un poco al respecto.
Yeah, definitely. When we do the lyrical analysis of the entire song, I have a quote from that interview about this, but I thought it was like crazy. Like this part, I guess, yeah, as a financial coach, as a financial planner, it's like she mentions financial topics here twice. You know, women are going to earn money and also mentioning her debt with the Spanish government. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, because I don't think that her case is resolved, at least at the time that we're recording this. So I thought it was very like strong and kind of unexpected for her to address that, not only in the interview. I remember when I read that Elle interview, I was like, whoa, okay, she's really going to talk about that. But here in a song, it's like, dang, I just was honestly thrown off when I heard that. And, you know, she's mentioning the press, like constantly hounding her. And I just can't imagine what that is like that level of attention. A breakup of any kind is very painful and difficult to go through, but then to have all that extra attention on you is just crazy, you know? So I have a lot of compassion for her because each of the things that she's mentioning here are actually very difficult things, you know? It's not common that when you break up with someone, the parents of your ex are right next to you. It's also uncommon when you break up that it becomes like news around the world. And I mean, money and financial topics between couples can be very difficult too. And I don't really think that here she's necessarily blaming him for the debt, but we know that she moved to Spain because of their relationship. And I think she's just saying all of these things to say, you know, like you left me at a bad moment, you know, you're not responsible necessarily for these things, but like, why the hell did you leave me at this time? Like, I really could have used a partner who actually had my back and you were not that person.
También creo que se trata un poco, no sé si llamarlo machismo, misoginia, porque la prensa está haciendo sitio prácticamente afuera de la casa donde vive solamente Shakira. No hemos visto reporteros afuera del departamento de soltero de Gerard.
That's a good point. I saw some fans say that they think that Gerard probably paid the Spanish press to leave him alone. But if that's true, don't you think Shakira could do the same thing? I mean, she probably has even more wealth than him.
¿Tienes alguna duda sobre la letra?
Yes. I have a few questions, and most of them are just about the phrasings. Because I think we understand the take-home message, the overall message of this song is pretty direct. So starting with where she says, tanto que te la das de campeón, is that a common phrase? I understand what she's saying, meaning, you know, that you go around saying you're a champion and everything, but is that te las das de campeón? Could you say te las das de anything?
Ajá, sí, más bien la frase es te las das de, por ejemplo, yo te puedo decir, Cali, tanto que te las das de podcaster y no me has dedicado un episodio. Bueno, alguien te podría hacer ese reclamo, ¿estás de acuerdo, no?
Ajá, ¿no? True, true. Okay, she's basically calling him a hypocrite, right? Mm-hmm. Because she's kind of saying, like, the public thinks that you're such a champion because you've mm-hmm. won so many World Cups and so many games being on the Barca team and all of that. But I know the truth and I know the personal side mm-hmm. of you. There's a public-facing side of you and there's a personal side, right?
Creo que en esa misma frase deja de entrever que él es un egoísta. Porque le está diciendo, bueno, tú eres muy campeón, pero cuando se trata de... de mí o de alguien más, ahí no está. Mm-hmm.
You're a champion on the field, but you were not a champion mm-hmm. in this relationship when I really needed you.
Puedes ganar la Copa del Mundo, pero perdiste la Copa de mi corazón.
Oh. Oh,
que esa ha de ser más difícil de conseguir, ¿estás de acuerdo?
Totally. So then another lyric where I had a question is where she says, hace rato que yo debí botar ese gato. Is that a common phrase?
No, no. Y de hecho, estuve pensando mucho en el significado de esa frase. Según yo, le dice gato porque al principio le había dicho tigre. Recordemos que ella estaba loca por su tigre. Ahora, pues resulta que ese tigre resultó ser un gatito.
Mm, that's a good comparison. Because I was also thinking in this song, she's referring to herself as a she-wolf, the loba. But she's calling him like just a regular boring cat. You know, there's nothing special about ese gato. But Shakira has like a fijación with cats. She's always like, los gatos como yo caen de pie.
Por ti fue que aprendí a querer los gatos.
Mm-hmm. She has several lyrics like that. As a non-native Spanish speaker, it's hard for me sometimes to know if certain phrases are like common or if they're just shakirismos. Mm-hmm. So this seems to be like a shaky thing, huh?
Pero igual, si alguien del fandom o de nuestros escuchas tienen una teoría, pues háganla saber.
Of course. Maybe this is a common phrase just in Barranquilla and neither of us know.
Como cremallera.
Exactly. Oh, good call.
Sigo sin superarlo. Sorry, babies.
Oh, no. Okay. Another part where I had a question and I was very curious to know what you thought is where she says, esto es pa' que te mortifiques. That is like very direct. Like she's doing that throughout the song, but like to say that's her intention is also very bold, like, and kind of aggressive.
Sí, es causarle una molestia, ¿no? Incomodarlo. Sabe que aunque él salga públicamente, ¿no? Con una cara parca o su parker face, sabemos que sí la está pasando un poquito mal.
Un poquito. Yeah. When we get to el chismecito, we can talk about the effects that this song has already had on Gerard. Continuing that line, then she continues and she says, mastiques y tragues, tragues y mastiques. And so I'm just curious what you think she's referring to with that line.
En español hay una frase que a veces decimos cuando nos tragamos las cosas, ¿no? Que nos quedamos con algo, con ganas de expresar algo, o omitimos algo, ¿no? Por conveniencia, a lo mejor porque no queremos herir a las personas o porque no nos conviene en ese momento decirlo. Pero sobre todo es algo molesto que te cause enojo, pero que en ese momento prefieres tragártelo, ¿no? Te tragas la emoción, te tragas la frase que querías decir, lo que querías gritar, ¿no? A lo mejor. Entonces, yo creo que por eso le dice, ¿no? Aunque mastiques y tragues, tragues y mastiques, sé que te va a incomodar, ¿no?
So she's saying this song is so that you are mortified, so that you chew and swallow, swallow and chew. But you're saying that to chew and swallow is like a metaphor, basically, to hold in your emotions, to mm-hmm. not share exactly what you're going mm-hmm. through. So is she saying that she wants him to shut up about this
mm-hmm.
and to not talk about it anymore?
Ajá. Y aunque también yo creo que se refiere un poco a, como te decía, aunque él quiera expresar algo, él no lo va a decir. O sea, ella lo conoce hasta este punto que sabe que la forma de él manejar este tipo de situaciones es callando, ¿no?
Uh-huh.
Pero sabe que aunque se calle, aunque mastique y trague todas esas emociones, le va a seguir mortificando.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like it's just so incredible that she's like, I want you to be fucking mortified by this. Like, she's just being so incredibly direct. And I think that that's also part of what I was saying earlier about her wanting there to be some level of accountability for his behavior. Because I think last year we really saw that it seemed like she was just being relatively quiet. I know Te Felicito came out and there was like a connection to... you know, the whole cheating situation, but this song is even more explicit. And so it's like, here you can see she's not just going to sit down and take the whole situation calmly. She wants there to be consequences for him. And I feel like that's clear in this lyric.
Aunque también puedo hacer otra conexión cuando dice mastiques y tragues, tragues y mastiques, yo contigo ya no regreso. También puede referirse a aunque él se arrepienta de todo lo que le dijo, o sea, que se arrepienta de todas las palabras, que se las trague, de todo lo que en algún momento supongo se dijeron, aunque él se trague todo eso y se arrepienta, ella ya no va a regresar con él. Que esperemos que sí sea cierto.
Yeah, yeah. Shaki, if you're listening to us, please give us a call before considering getting back with him. And this gets into chismecito territory, but I don't know if you've heard that there was like a rumor that Shakira found out that PK was being unfaithful and that the main clue was a jar of jam that was in their fridge at their house in Barcelona. And apparently, according to this rumor, Shakira loves jam, but Gerard never ate it because he either didn't like it or it's considered unhealthy for his, you know, soccer diet or whatever. But with that, I was thinking maybe there's a connection to this lyric too.
¿Tienes alguna otra duda sobre alguna parte de la letra?
Yes. So in the part where she says, yo solo hago música, perdón que te salpique, which I think you just said was your favorite lyric, right?
Así es.
In that part, I'm curious, why do you think that she says perdón?
Ella ya sabía que esto le iba a traer de alguna forma más atención, no iba a causar polémica alrededor de él. Que también, de cierta forma, pues lo deja mal parado. Ante la prensa, ante la sociedad, públicamente. Pues está dañando su imagen pública. Entonces es como, pues perdón, pero pues te lo mereces.
Yeah, I can't tell if like this perdón is very sincere or if she's just like saying it, you know, to be like cheeky. Like, does she really apologize? I don't think so.
Yo creo que sí lo hace con sinceridad. Yo creo que sí se lo está diciendo con sinceridad.
Okay. And the lyric right before that, the phrase where she says, yo solo hago música, my Shaki fan friend V and I have this crazy theory that perhaps this is a reference to when there was a lot of misogynistic comments that came out about Shakira. I know that that happened several times in the world of soccer, but people were talking very poorly about Shakira. Do you remember when people were saying Shakira es de todos? And like that big moment when people were being very critical and disrespectful towards her, and Gerard didn't publicly really do anything. So V and I were thinking like, oh, yo solo hago música, perdón que te salpique. Like, that's like the inverse, the opposite of what happened in that situation. He could have said to her like, oh, I'm sorry, I just play soccer. It's not my fault that everybody's talking shit about you. And like FIFA didn't do anything, or he didn't publicly do anything. So that's another theory that we kind of had about this little portion of the song.
Me gusta esa teoría y considero que sí pudo haber sido real ese escenario, ¿eh? En el que, como comentas, ¿no? Él a lo mejor, después de todos sus ataques de la tribuna, en los estadios, en los partidos, él tal vez pudo decirle a Shaki, pues, perdón que te salpiquen, pero yo solo juego fútbol, ¿no? O sea, perdón que te vas afectada, pero ¿qué puedo hacer? Es parte como del negocio del fútbol o de los deportes, ¿no? Entonces sí, puede ser que ella también se lo esté regresando. Yo solo hago música.
I wasn't sure if her using the word solo was perhaps like a reflection of how she felt in that relationship in terms of their careers, where he maybe was so egotistical and she was with him during a long period of time where he was extremely successful, right? And she felt that like, oh, she was maybe less. Like, she's like, oh, I only make music. I'm just a musician. Whereas he was being successful, winning World Cups and all of these championships and blah, blah, blah. Lots of theories. Mm-hmm. Well, those are the questions I had. I know we're going to do like a whole deep dive analysis of all the lyrics, but those were like questions that I had about the phrases. Do you have any questions about anything?
Mira, tengo una pregunta que hacerte con respecto también a la letra. Siento yo que Shakira ya conocía a Clara en algún contexto. No digo que hayan sido amigas, pero probablemente Gerard se la presentó, no sé, como una socia de la empresa, como una empleada de la empresa de Cosmos, o a lo mejor como amiga de alguien del equipo del Barça, no sé. La forma en que se refiere a ella sí es como sarcásticamente, ¿no? Como diciendo, híjole, yo sí pensaba que ella era buena y mira lo que pasó. ¿Tú qué piensas al respecto?
Sorry, baby. Ya fue mucho rato. I want to tell you that in another episode, Sam.
¿Quieres decir que habrá un volumen 2 de esta canción?
¡Claramente! All right, Shaki fans, don't forget that you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram @ShakiPediaPod. There's literally so much chismecito to discuss for this song, And we look forward to telling you everything we've learned in our next episode, which will come out in 2 weeks.
Así es, Shaky fans. Recuerden que ahora nuestros episodios son quincenales, así que el volumen 2 de esta canción estará disponible dentro de 15 días. Háganos saber su letra favorita o si saben algún chismecito, lo pueden hacer llegar a través de nuestras redes sociales o pueden dejarnos un mensaje de voz en la contestadora de Shakypedia. Les dejamos el link en la descripción del episodio. Recuerden que en el sitio principal de Anchor del podcast hay un botón que dice mensaje. Ahí le dan clic y van a dejar su mensaje. Les recomendamos que lo hagan a través de un equipo de escritorio, ya que en celular está fallando un poco.
Y yo quiero saber, what do you guys think of this song? There is literally so much to discuss, so feel free to send us a message on social media, and we look forward to continuing this next episode. Please tell us everything.
Corran la voz y compartan este episodio con sus Shaky amigues. Nos pueden escuchar en Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Dejen sus reviews. Nos encantaría leer también sus opiniones.
In the next episode, we'll continue discussing Shakira Bizarrap Music Sessions number 53. Yo fui Cali.
Y yo fui Sam.
Esto fue
Shakypedia. Esta historia continuará.